When I prayed and I said, Lord, what do the people need? What do we need right now? Just as clearly as could be, the thought came, hope, hope. And so I had been thinking about hope, because in the present circumstance, there are lots of challenges to hope. But when I start to think about hope, I always think about Tolkien's book, The Lord of the Rings, and especially the interview between Gandalf and Denethor. And Gandalf, for those of you that aren't immersed in Tolkien, Gandalf is the equivalent of an archangel whom God sent to Earth to help men in their struggle against the darkness. And Denethor was the keeper of the city of Gondor, which is almost like the city of God. It's not quite, but because it's a men's city, but Denethor is the steward, and he's supposed to be waiting for the king. And now the king has arrived with Gandalf, and the king is showing his presence because a vine that was long dead has bloomed. And you know, in scripture, it says that out of dry ground will come a shoot. And there's a play on the words in that place, because the word Nazareth has as its root the word shoot, like a shoot out of dry ground, as in Isaiah 53. So this vine has bloomed. And yet Denethor, because he's been looking at the Dark Lord and all of his power and his armies and his creatures and his weapons of warfare, it has overcome his mind. And so he's lost all hope. He is subdued in despair and is planning suicide. And Gandalf challenges him and said, what would you have if your will could have its way? And Denethor says, I would have all things as they were all the days of my life and in the days of my forefathers before me, to have this city in peace and leave my seat to my son after me. And nothing was as it had been for Denethor. The enemy was at the gates. He was marching in power. And Denethor had given up hope because he had spent so much time looking at the works of the Dark Lord that he had no eye to see the presence of the king. And I was thinking that we are in a similar circumstance. We're in the midst of a plague that is consuming many lives. Some say it's no worse than the plagues that have been before, because it's like the flu. But whether it's the flu or whether it's COVID-19, if you're dying from it, it doesn't really make any difference. And now it has begun to move into the middle age spectrum, and people who have given up practicing social distancing and masks, they're being afflicted in greater numbers. And then we're seeing from Africa and India the beginning of the break in of that plague there. But also at the same time, that has exacerbated other feelings. And so now we have, because of the actions of some few police, we have a whole uprising against the long, long discrimination against Blacks and Aboriginals. And it's not just against Blacks and Aboriginals, but now there's been a 50% spike in actions of discriminatory actions toward Chinese. And you know that part of our family is Chinese or Asian. And so these things, they move from outside us, and then they begin to come closer and closer into our own areas. So in the midst of this, what are we to think of it? When I looked up the meaning of hope, it says to cherish a desire or anticipation of fulfillment. To cherish a desire with anticipation of fulfillment. And that's speaking of hope from a human perspective. There are things that we set our hearts on. There's financial sufficiency. There's health. There's promotion. There's repairs around the house. There's improvements we want to see done. There are advancements in jobs. And so as we look at these desires and we anticipate their fulfillment, we say that's hope. And another definition is something that I want to happen and that I believe to be true. But one of the phrases that we often hear quoted, especially in our circles, is that hope deferred makes the heart sick. A long time of waiting for fulfillment makes the heart sick. Some people are waiting to have children. Some people are waiting to get married. I can remember that in the midst of the nuclear crisis with Cuba and Russia and the United States, that as a teenager, I was expecting that all of my hopes would be lost in an atomic burst. There were sirens in the city of Toronto that they would test regularly. And then one day I went out by myself. I was visiting my sister near Paris, Ontario, and I went out to a valley where I like to go and fish and walk. And I was sitting on the side of a hill in the midst of all this. I think I was maybe 17 or 18. And I was sitting on the side of the hill, and I was recounting to God the despair that was filling my heart of my future just dissipating, and fear was there. And as I sat on the side of the hill, this song came from somewhere, and it was, God remembers his own. And I started to sing that song. And as so often in my life, as that song arose in my heart, my hope arose because I committed my future to God. God had met me there in that song. The Spirit had met me there. And all of my despair just evaporated. Nothing had changed outside, but I had met God. And so it says in Psalm 62, from him comes my hope. Now, the peculiar thing is that one person can be in hope and one person can be in despair. And they can be sitting side by side. They can be looking at the same events. And yet one is in hope and one is in despair. And no one can hope for us. No one. There has to be an encounter with God. And so the psalmist says, my hope comes from God and him alone. So if you are looking at the circumstances and you are feeling despair, you are feeling your hope dissipating, then what you need is an encounter with God. And I can't tell you, no one can tell you how to meet God, because the psalm goes on and says that those who wait on the Lord will not be in despair. How long do you have to wait on the Lord for hope to come? No one knows. But you know, when you meet God, hope comes. I remember reading about Barbara Amiel, who's an editor and writer with Maclean's magazine. And her husband is Conrad Black, now Lord Black, unless he's renounced his title. But he had been indicted on many counts, and he was going to jail. And there was talk of a retrial because some people did not feel that he had received retribution equal to his crime. And she was reading all the reports, and she was reading the defense that his lawyers were mounting. And she said in this editorial, at the back, on the back page of Maclean's, that suddenly she knew everything was going to be all right. Now, Barbara Amiel is a non-practicing Jew. And at some point, she knows God. And at that point, God brought hope to her and said to her heart, everything will be all right. Now, sometimes we would like to claim that meeting with God just for us, but actually, God meets with whomever he likes, and he never consults me. And I don't know if he consults you, but if he doesn't, then he does what he likes, and he meets with people, and he creates hope. Why? Because he wants to encourage them to continue the relationship. He wants to encourage them to continue to look to him, because hope comes from God. But it's more than that for the psalmist. You'll notice that in the next scripture that I send out in Psalm 130, it says, I hope in his word. In his word, I put my trust. And sometimes that word comes to us in a song. It's happened to me more than once that I've been in just despair, looking at the worst circumstance, looking at life like a great big black hole, like a whirlpool going to suck me up. And I started to give thanks. I can remember the circumstance, and I was holding on to the arms of a chair, and I was saying, Lord, I'm going to go right into that whirlpool. And I started to thank God for the chair. That was the one thing I could grab. Lord, thank you for this chair. Thank you that I'm not in pain. Thank you for Lois. Thank you for the children. Thank you for this house. Thank you for food. And then all of a sudden, this song welled up in my heart. I can't remember the song now, but as that song came up in my heart, and I started to sing it, and those of you who know and have ever heard me try to sing, it'll make you laugh, because I don't sing like Roland. I sing like Ken, and I think the Lord laughs sometimes too. But you know, the song does me good, regardless of whether I'm in tune or not. And the song rose up in my heart, and this whirlpool that was in front of me just dissipated. And all of a sudden, my heart was lifted because I had hope in his word as it was conveyed to me through a song. And it may come to you through scripture. It may be that in the midst of your despair and in the midst of your confusion, as you wait on God, hope will spring up in your heart, and all of the fear and all of the despair will disappear. But that comes from God, and it comes from hoping in his word. But you know, there's more to it than that. You probably read, some of you anyway, read NIV. And in NIV, often there's a word that's called his loving kindness. And it's rooted in the word chesed in Hebrew. And chesed has a wide variety of meanings. But what it means is his loving kindness. But what God is saying to Israel, because that's always the context, is his loving kindness that is coming to them because of the covenant that he made with the fathers. Because of the covenant that he made with the fathers. Now, our covenant doesn't rest simply with the history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but our great covenant maker is the Lord Jesus. And one thing we know is that if God has made a covenant with us, he will be faithful to keep the covenant. And so we rest in his loving kindness, regardless of the circumstances that we face. Loss of jobs, loss of businesses, loss of health, loss of friends, loss of family. All these things are happening to people that are in our circle right now. And don't you wish that you could have hope for them? But actually, as these things are taken away, as their hope in material things is diminished, God is saying, I'm there. I'm there for you. And that's because with those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus as our Messiah. He is our covenant. He is our covenant. And because we have a covenant, we can count on God to be faithful. Now, there are terms to that covenant, because covenants go both ways. And the covenant that is made with us is, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And so our hopes are centered on Jesus. Right at the beginning of his ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke and said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He goes on to say, it's not worrying about clothes or worrying about food or worrying about shelter that is significant. The main thing is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, each of us would have to declare that at various points, we become concerned about finances. We become concerned about what we will wear. And maybe it's more a woman thing than a man thing, because Lois always tells me I can get away with lots of things in my dress that she can't get away with as a woman. And I get away with things with my hair that she can't get away with. And so there are many concerns that we have. And often we become focused on the concerns. Sometimes with me, it's more, are people listening to me? Do I matter? Is what I say important? And am I really hearing from God? And am I speaking in God's spirit to people who need a word of encouragement? I get concerned about things like that. I spend hours thinking and praying and trying to get it right so that I speak the right things, because it concerns me. And it's not just because of the benefit of the people that hear me, but I'm also concerned about my reputation. And I admit it, I get concerned about me as a person. And so I have to turn and say, Lord, I'll do what I can. And I'm resting on you to do the rest. And then in the scripture, it says that we are inspired by the Holy Spirit to hope. One of the things that is brought to us by the Spirit is hope. And I was interested to see that in the fruit of the Spirit, hope is not there. I thought hope would be there, but it's not there. It's not one of the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, it's an impartation that comes to us by the Spirit through revelation. The Spirit gives us revelation, and that revelation brings us hope, because the Spirit speaks to us of the Word. But, you know, more than all these things, the things that are around us, as they fade away, they make us realize that more than anything, we need his appearing. And so the scripture talks about in Titus 2 and 13 that we should hope in his appearing. I noticed that various people are saying, particularly with the ecology, people are saying, nobody's going to come and rescue us. Nobody's going to come and rescue us. And what they're speaking to is an evangelical idea that we can mess up the world as badly as we like, because we're out of here, man. We're going to get raptured. And all you guys that have made the mess, along with the mess that we've made, you're going to have to suffer with it. But we're out of here. Now, I don't believe that theology. I believe Jesus is coming, and he's going to bring us all back with him. And the first thing he's going to say when he looks at the world as the new king and supreme commander is he's going to turn around and he's going to look at it, at his leaders, at his cabinet, and he's going to say, okay, guys, clean it up. We're here for a while. So I don't believe that a getting out of here is an excuse for messing up God's world. I believe that we are stewards of God's world, and we need to look after it. We need to take care of it. But at the same time, it appears to me that the problems of the world and of ecology are too great now for us to solve. And we need somebody to come to help us resolve them. We need to do our best with the inspiration of the Spirit and with the strength that comes from our unity in the body of Christ. But God is offended by pollution, moral pollution and physical pollution, and we must not contribute to it. And so as we look at the mess, we shouldn't be in despair. Instead, we should say, Lord, what can I do to help clean it up morally and physically? But there is a need for us to have hope in his appearing. And then finally, in the midst of all this, we know that we fail very often. And the thing that we can hope in is his compassion. And I love Romans 8 and 32, because Paul says, we know that he gives us abundantly more than we can ask or expect. He says that God looks after us beyond our needs. And this is the thing that I've seen so often in my life. I can remember coming to Ottawa and looking for an apartment. And there was an apartment that was in the basement. The place had a reputation for having bugs. And I thought, oh, I don't really want to live here, Lord. I'm willing if you want me to. But the Lord provided us a much better place, a beautiful place with a beautiful view. And it came about in a rather remarkable way. And that was where we lived for the first few years of our marriage. But what I found is that when I hope in the Lord, he consistently gives me better than I could expect because of his compassion, because of his loving kindness. So whatever the situation that you are in now, hope in the Lord, wait on the Lord until hope arises. And then when you have hope, wait on the Lord more, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from a word from the Lord. And faith is the substance of hope. Faith is when you're still hoping, but you have such confidence in God that you've got what you're hoping for with a seal. And God said, it's in the mail. The check is in the mail. And it's the most wonderful thing to have that kind of assurance, so that your hope has the approval of God. It's like Esther walking into the king's presence, knowing that if he did not extend the scepter, her head would be taken off. And she had hope. But when the king extended the scepter, she had faith. The king has extended his scepter. She hasn't got what she's looking for yet. It took 3 days and three feasts in order for her to get there. But when the king extended his scepter, she had faith. And so when you have hope that's come from God, and then you're waiting on the Lord and saying, Lord, is my hope in you? Is this truly what you're saying? And the king extends his scepter, and you know in your heart, you know in your knower that you have that which you have asked of him. That is the most blessed thing. And at that moment, your hope has a countersign on the check. And God said, you've got it. You've got it. And then you just wait for the reality to come in the mail. And that comes from God. And so our hope is birthed from God, and our faith comes from him, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And so would you take the scriptures that I've sent out and meditate on them this week, and be sure that your hope is built up, and then wait on God until your faith is secure, because you will not be disappointed when you hope in the Lord. Amen.